Good morning. It's great to see everybody this morning. And I'd like to welcome you to the church, Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. I'd like to especially welcome my family here, my sister-in-law, my nephew, and my niece, okay? They're here to encourage me this morning, and I need a lot of encouragement, amen? Anyway, I have a special announcement, good news. Our sister in Christ, Deb Shanks, had 7 hours of surgery this week. And praise God, she's doing well, and she's recovering quickly, and maybe out of the ICU today. We'll send more details by email announcement. She's posting updates on Facebook. And also like to welcome a sister who plays membership with our church, Andrea Mukoko, who's Andrea. Amen. Welcome. I have some good news this morning. You guys want to hear some good news? You probably all know this, already know this, that Jesus loves you. Okay? In case you forgot, Jesus loves you and me. All right, children? Yeah? You know that song in Kids' Kingdom? Jesus loves me. You guys remember that song? Yeah. Can you help me sing that song? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little one to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. All right? You guys don't forget that. You know, that's even though you mess up in your life, even whatever you do, you mess up, God is always there. God always said, I love you. Okay, God always gives you chances to come back, no matter what you've done. That's the good news. That's the message this morning. You're dismissed. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Okay, raise your hand if you are a Christian. Okay. Good. Most of the people raise your hand, right? Raise your hand if you're a disciple. Okay, that's a trick question, right? If you're a Christian, then you're a disciple. You know, in the Bible, it talks mostly, everybody's called disciples. The people who follow Jesus Christ, they call disciples. Right? Let me turn off this a little bit. Okay? All right, thank you. They call disciples. But the Christians were first called, the disciples were first called Christian where? And Antioch, right? Acts 11. Right? So nowadays, people think, okay, I'm a Christian. I'm not a disciple. Disciples are more committed, right? But they're the same. Right? They all called to be, we all are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Okay, let me raise your hand if you are a servant of Jesus Christ. That's good. Most of us, right? Yeah, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are a servant of Jesus Christ. Whether you know it or not, you are a servant. When you became a disciple, what do you confess?
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord, right? What does that mean, Jesus is Lord? He is over your life. You belong to Him. We belong to Him. Remember, guys, remember that? Maybe a long time ago, some of us, like 30, 40 years ago, we committed our lives to God, to Jesus. We call him Jesus Lord. We got to confess Jesus Lord for us to be his disciple. Right? And if he's his Lord, then we are his servant. Right? Sometimes we don't think about that. We are servants. We are called to be servants. Sometimes we don't think that way, do we? You know, in the Bible time, the word servant, what does that mean? What that mean? Yeah, people who serve, right? Thank you, Honora. People who serve. Or basically, they're slaves. Servants. Okay, so that's what Jesus is calling us when we decide to follow him. That we are his servants. We follow in his footsteps. We do what he does. I forgot to introduce myself. If you don't know me, my name is Scott Dang. Sorry about that. Sorry. I forgot about that. And, you know, my brother, Harris Brown, we go visit him. He called me Charles Bronson. You guys know who Charles Bronson is? No? Okay, some of you are kind of young. You don't know who Charles Bronson is, but he is a very handsome guy. Good-looking guy. A very famous movie actor back in the 60s and 70s. He called me Charles Bronson. Okay? But I don't have a mustache, though. But you know what he called Mr. Russ? The Rock. You know, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock? Very handsome, muscular guy. You know, Russ doesn't have the muscle or anything like that, but his hair, you know, resembles The Rock. His lack of it, you know, the lack of hair, a mustache, and the beard. I'm playing with you, Russ. He's my buddy. But anyway, my wife and I, we coordinate the children's ministry. So I'm grateful that God has chosen us to help with the children, and we're very excited about it. And if you want to teach, have a heart to teach, let me know. If you have any comments or anything that helps our kids' kingdom, please let me know. Okay. Please turn your Bible to Philippians 2:5. We're going old school today, okay? Going back to the Bible. All right? The reason I'm not going to give you the message on the slide is we want to go back to the Bible. Literally, okay? Philippians 2. I love the sounds of Bible turning, you know, the pages. We have read this passage many times this year, you know, and this is our theme for this year, the Philippians 2. And in verse 5, I'll read verse 5, it says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, Jesus says we got to have the same mindset as he has, the same mindset, you know, with one another in our relationship. You know, we got to take, you know, Jesus, we know he is not a servant. He's a king. You guys know that? He's not a servant. He's a king. But he takes the very nature of a servant. That's different. Okay? He decided to be a servant. He's not a servant, but he decided to become one. To be have the nature, the quality of a servant. Yeah, we just discussed what a servant is, right? And today we're going to look at the sacrifice of a servant. Sacrifice of a servant. And this year's theme this month's theme for our church is nature of a servant. Last month was humility, right? This month is nature of a servant. So we're going to look more in depth of being what it's like to be a servant. See, I'm so old school. We're still using this, right? Nowadays, you all see old picture with you know, all that, but I'm old school. You know, Jesus said, go back to here, he said, you know, in the leadership of the world, he said, people, okay, turn to Matthew first. Let's go to Matthew. I have to read this first. Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verse 25. It says, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high official exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, before the scripture, John and James, they were asking Jesus, you know, the mother of John and James asked Jesus for them to sit, you know, beside Jesus. His mother wants their children, her children, to have the position, a high position, next to Jesus. But Jesus said, hey, if you want to be great, you must be a servant. You know, he said, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high official exercised authority over them. You know, the rulers, the great leaders of the world, they exercise authority over who they lead. But not Jesus. Jesus, he decided to become a servant. He said, not you. So he said, not of you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Yeah, I'm saying in the world, people, if you're a leader, if you're a CEO, you're a manager, people usually, they usually lord over you, tell you what to do, right? But Jesus is different. So you want to be great, you got to serve. You know, we it's difficult to serve, you know. Serving is not easy. That's why we got to sacrifice. There's the heart to sacrifice to serve. It takes sacrifice. It was not easy for Jesus to go to the cross. Jesus had to pray three times for God to, to take this cup away from him. You know, he knew that what's going to happen. He knew that he was going to be tortured, flogged, and hang on a cross. He knew that that's what's going to happen. And he decided, anyway, I'm going to obey my Father until the end. It's not easy to sacrifice. You know, it's, you know, we see, just like this morning, Todd was talking about the people who sacrifice at church. It's not easy to come early in the morning to set up things. It takes sacrifice. You know, we have a lot of brothers and sisters do great examples of sacrificing their lives to make the church happen. Sometimes we don't even think about them or know what's going on in the back. We have great teachers. We have great, you know, people who serve that we don't even mention. You know, they come early, they sing, they practice singing, and the song, the worship team, they have to meet on Saturday to practice. They have to put extra time to practice. It takes sacrifice. You know, it does not come easy like we think. You know, Jesus said he has come down, you know, to serve, not to be served. He knows that when he comes down here, he's here to serve. You guys imagine the king. He has everything. He lives in heaven, and he has to come down here, take the nature of a servant. And get this, he said that, you know, he became nothing, become human. Right? He said, you know, it became nothing. He became like us. In other words, guys, we that means that we are nothing. Sometimes I think we think too much of ourselves. That's the problem. I think we think too much of ourselves, and that's why we have so many problems in this world. We think we're so great. Everything is about us. Focus on us. But we are nothing. You know? And he said, if you want to be great, become a servant. You know, the world is looking at Jesus the way he led. Jesus only lived in this world only 3 years. And yet, see the impact of Jesus. You guys see the impact of Jesus after 2,000 years. The impact of Jesus in the lives of people all over the world. And culture. Only 3 years of leading a group of men. And that's why people, looking back at his teaching, and look at his lives, see the way, the style that he leads. He's not lording over people. Instead, what did he do? He washed people's feet. He cooks breakfast for his disciples. They were fishing all night. They were tired. And he's up there cooking breakfast. Come on, guys. Let's have breakfast. Let's have some baked fish. He's always thinking about other people and their needs. So we got to look at Jesus. How did he lead? He was a servant. Sacrifice of a servant. You know, it takes sacrifice to do well in school. You don't just do well in school just being lazy, hanging out, playing games all day. takes sacrifice. I want you to turn to Colossians 3. Verse 23. It says, you guys there? It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Okay? It is the Lord Christ you're serving. Whatever you do, whatever you serve in your job, in your school, got to work it all your heart. You got to study hard. You're not studying for the teacher. You're doing it for God. You're doing it for Christ. Glorify Him. Wherever you go. When you do that, your example at work, God is glorified. He is praised. You know the great athletes. They don't become great just because they were born like that. You know, they had to practice. Practice, practice, practice. They worked very hard. They had to sacrifice. You know, Kobe Bryant? You know him? Do you know him? Oh, yeah, of course. Everybody knows him, right? You know, when people having fun and partying, you know what he does? He practices shooting all the time. That's why he becomes so great. It's sacrifice of his fun time. And he become great. Nothing good, nothing awesome comes without sacrifice. And without relationship with God. Also, you're not going to have a close relationship with God if you don't sacrifice your time. Studying the Bible. Reading the Bible. Meditating God's Word. You're not going to be spiritual minded if you don't sacrifice the time in the morning. Make time with Him. You know, Jesus called us, go to Luke 9:23. It says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet lose or forfeit their very self? Jesus called the disciples. He said, you want to come follow me and want to be my disciple? You must deny yourself. You guys think about it. Denying yourself. What do we need to deny of? Deny of our comfort. Deny of our pleasure seeking. Right? There are many things we got to deny. to become disciples. Denying the temptation to go on bad websites, pornography. Denying our lust for eyes. If you want to become Jesus' disciple, that's what he's calling you to do. Denying your selfishness, your anger. You know, it's not simply become a disciple and go to church and be a good person. That's not what Jesus is calling you to be, calling us to be. Jesus is calling us to change our lives, transform our lives, and take up the cross daily. Not once in a while, daily, right? And he said, if you don't want to do that, you know, you have a choice. Jesus doesn't make any money to do that. He said, what good is it if you gain the whole world and lose or forfeit your very self? You can have everything in the world, but if you don't have God and you don't have salvation, it's meaningless. Everything you do here is meaningless. All the money you make is meaningless. You cannot bring the money with you when you die. You cannot bring your beautiful car with you when you die. What good is it? We lose everything and don't have a relationship with him. The joy of sacrifice, my second point. Let's go to Hebrews 12:1. It takes a little longer because we have to turn the pages, right? Kids, this is what we do when long time ago, right? We don't have the phone. This is what we do. We have to turn the pages. You got to learn the Bible. Learn, memorize the books of the Bible. See, I already forgot where the Hebrews is. Sorry, guys. I've been using my phone too much. This is what happened, guys. Sorry. See, this is an example not to do. All right, Hebrews 12. And this is the Bible I don't use much because I use my other Bible, the old Bible. This is my preaching Bible. It's the paper is still sticky. All right, let's read Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, Jesus, the reason he's able to endure all these hardships, he said he set the joy set before him. He sees his goal, heaven. That's why he's able to endure the temporary hardship that he goes through. This joy set before him. Guys, do we set our mind and thoughts on things above? Is that our goal one day, to go to heaven? Raise your hand if you want to go to heaven one day. Nobody? Anybody? Don't raise your hand. Okay. I think everybody, most, I think 99%, and some people are not sure. Okay, I don't know why. Anyway, I think we all want to go to heaven, right? Are we focus our eyes and hearts and mind on things above? You know, that's our goal. You know, Satan's going to throw a wrench in there sometime and get you off track. You know, ask yourself, am I ready when Jesus comes back? Am I ready if he comes back today? Am I ready? He will come. He will come back. That's what he promised. You believe the Bible? That's what it says. You don't know the time and the hour. That's why we don't want to waste time on the meaningless things. He said, don't let anything hinders you. Don't let any sin entangles you. What is hindering us today from having a great relationship with God? What is hindering you? We got to cut that off. Because the only thing that's important, guys, is that we go to heaven. We be with God forever. The time here on this earth is very short. It's very short compared to eternity. Right? You guys don't want to build your lives on this earth. Do not put your treasure on things in this earth, where thieves, where moth, and thieves, or moth and what else? Vermin. Moth and what? Vermin destroys, right? And the thieves, they steal. But put your hopes in things above, in heaven, where what? Moth and vermin do not steal. Thank you, Anora. See, I'm very proud of her. She's in Kiss Kingdom, guys. She's, right? That's what we do. Guys, teachers, thank you so very much for volunteering to teach our children. Amen. This is an example why we need to volunteer. I'm so proud of a lot of our kids. You know, and this is our hope for the future of disciples. I got to wrap up. Okay, we got to run the race, guys, to the end, right? I know a lot of you guys, us, are very tired. A lot of us are very sick. And I can only imagine a lot of us, you know, are fighting with our health. I pray for our brothers and sisters who are, you know, in need of prayers for health. We got to look around. We got to see our brothers and sisters who are fighting. Yeah. I pray for Huntley almost every day. Yeah. I pray for my brother Harris Brown. Yeah. I pray for Bert. You know, I pray for Mr. Peter. Yeah, I pray with my kids every night for these guys. For Chloe. We see, we got to see the needs of out there. There are so many people out there that needs us, disciples. Each and every one of us, we need to make a decision that we will be a servant. God has already called us to be a servant. We need just to remember that we are servants. You know, he Ephesians, in Acts 2:35, it said, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Yeah, there's joy in giving. There's joy in serving, guys. You are created to serve. And if we don't serve, We're not doing our part. And when we're not doing what we created to do, you know what happened? We're not going to run well. We're not going to be happy. We're not going to be joyful. How God wants us to be. The reason God wants us to be servant is for us to understand the fullness of what He has for us. He wants us to be joyful. You look around, the people who are most joyful are the people who are serving, who are giving. And if you are not happy or depressed or down, try serving. It's a good dose of medicine. Okay? Try that. The most happy people are the people who give and serve. That's what God created us to do, to serve. Amen? So that's it for my message today. Thank you so very much for hearing my message today. Have a great day.